We turn again to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now we're going to consider this evening God's way of salvation. Jesus was preaching a life-transforming message to his disciples and to many who were gathered around at that time. We call this the Sermon on the Mount. That's really to do with the location. But it is indeed a most remarkable sermon, and it includes three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, and they are really full of such wonderful teaching for us as we seek to live out our lives as a true Christian, following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is a message here in these chapters which turned the religious thinking of the day upside down. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached to the mind and to the heart, not just to the mind. He preached to the mind and to the heart. And the Lord Jesus was teaching that Christian living is first about having a right relationship with God. That is what we have to look at first of all. It's not just about obeying a man-made list of rules. It's not about obeying a man-made list of regulation for outward appearance only. It's not about following man's tradition to be acceptable with God. No, obedience to God's way is a response of love to God with the mind and the heart engaged. It's a willing obedience. It's a loving obedience. And the teaching of the Lord Jesus was so different from the religious leaders of the day. They taught an external obedience only. Just do this and this and this and work at this and this and this. And they developed a huge manual of regulations. But their teaching had nothing to do with the heart. And these people were just like machines. They did much, but they were machines, just like machines, like robots. There was no focus upon the heart. There was no spiritual content in their service whatsoever. It was all outward. And so the Lord Jesus was talking to a people, with disciples first and foremost, but surrounded by many people who were burdened by rules. They were burdened by regulations. They were burdened by having to strive to conform to this manual of regulations that had been placed before them. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke very severely to the scribes and the Pharisees about this. He said, you're putting such burdens on these people, and you yourself don't really follow them, but you're all the while putting these burdens upon the people. And in reality, these dear people, who were like sheep without a shepherd, were burdened, they were unhappy, they were enslaved, and living was no joy. It had no joy and no lasting purpose spiritually. And they found it very difficult to listen to the preaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. They went away feeling even more burdened, even more pressurized. But with the Lord Jesus, it was different. The Lord Jesus, they were listening to a preacher who made sense, who understood their situation, who they really felt, here is a man that's come to help us, a man that identifies with us, a man that really understands their situation. And there was something different about the Lord Jesus. He spoke with power to the mind and to the heart. This was one of the great testimonies. The people were astonished at his doctrine. He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Well, Jesus was a man who got to the root of the problem. The Lord Jesus preached to the inner being. He preached to the soul. And so here in this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with how do we follow God from the heart. And you know how, of course, his sermon starts off, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, he's speaking here about a real work of conviction of sin and how the only comfort comes from a true trust in God through the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So he begins at the heart. He begins with the inner being. And once he's dealt with that, he then speaks about how we should be living the Christian life. But here he knows that he's not preaching to a whole congregation of believers. Oh, they said they were Jews. They thought that they were right with God because they were born a Jew. And they were obeying all these regulations. And the Pharisees had told them, if you do this and this and this, oh, you'll be right with God. Well, the Lord Jesus knew different. And so right here in chapter 7, towards the end of his sermon, he issues an invitation. An invitation. He's preaching to sinners who needs grace, who needs salvation. So he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. Now, I want us to consider, first of all, then, the giver of this invitation. Because where the invitation comes is so important for us, is it not? Well, the giver of this invitation is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. The all-sufficient Saviour, the perfect fulfiller of God's law, one who's totally sinless, the perfect peacemaker that we were speaking about this morning, the victorious Saviour and Lord. This is the giver of the invitation. So we need to take note this evening. This is not any old person given an invitation. This is the second person of the divine Trinity. This is the Son of God who is speaking to us this evening. And so this brings us to the authority of the invitation. Now, respect for an authoritative invitation depends upon, as I said, its giver. Now, there is no higher authority than God. Is there? Who can you think that is higher than God? There is no one higher than God. And here is the Son of God, he is God, giving you an invitation, a direction. He's speaking to you personally. What about the value of this invitation? Of course, the authority of the invitation is also known by its value. Well, do you know, there is no depreciation to the value of this invitation because it has an eternal consequence. Now, let's put it like this. You might be looking forward to something, to your birthday. You might be looking forward to Christmas. You may be looking forward to a holiday. But you know that flat feeling you get after your birthday. After Christmas, you know that feeling, don't you? There's a lot of excitement and you have a nice time, perhaps, and then perhaps Boxing Day or the day after, or there's the day after your birthday, all the excitement's evaporated and you're feeling a bit flat. You've got to get on with life. Or the end of a holiday, you know how it is, you've got to re-engage with the work or your school education and go back from school holidays, you know how difficult it is. But this invitation to enter into the narrow way, it's the narrow way where Jesus is calling you to start to walk upon. It goes on and on. Eventually, It takes you to heaven, where there is no more tears and no more pain and no more suffering, no more sin, no more disappointments, no more death, only joy, eternal joy, forever and ever and ever in the very presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this invitation here, this direction, has a great value. It has an eternal value. Its purpose then, what is its great purpose? It has a sincere purpose. It is to guide us to the way of peace with God. It is to guide us to heaven. It is to glorify God. But I want us to look also about the grace of this invitation, friends. The grace of this invitation. You know, maybe you've been involved with arranging a wedding or whatever it might be, and you know that there are certain people you have to invite because they're relations or you feel duty-bound to invite them. But in your heart of hearts, you know there's not a lot of grace in that invitation. Maybe you've had some difficulties in the past, but you know you've got to invite them, but you don't really feel probably right about it, but you do it out of a sense of duty. Now, you might be a close relative of someone, and you hear of someone getting married, and you say, well, I'm sure we're going to get an invitation. We deserve an invitation. If I don't get an invitation to this wedding, we will be very offended. I've known of a case of that recently where someone didn't get an invitation to a wedding and was quite offended and hurt. But this is not like a wedding invitation in terms of that it all comes to do with your relations and any sense of obligation. This is a gracious invitation. It's an unmerited invitation. It's a free grace invite. And you get this invitation and you think, why me? Why have I got this invitation? Can God consider me when we consider that we are an unworthy sinner? We don't deserve it. And we look at our life and the Holy Spirit has convicted us of our sin and we realize something of our wretchedness. And then we hear this message of the gospel, enter ye in at the straight gate. Come, there's a way. There's a way back to God. And we wonder at this. This is amazing. So we come to the love of the invitation. It's an understanding love behind this invitation. It's a knowledgeable love. It's a sacrificial love. It's an unbreakable love. Oh, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about enter you in at the straight gate, the narrow way, the narrow gate, oh, it's full of meaning. It's full of truth. It's full of sincerity. It's full of love. And he's demonstrated that love by himself, given his life and suffering on behalf of needy sinners, that we might have this invitation, that we might enter in at the straight gate. Because you see, friends, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be any entering in any case. There wouldn't be any hope for any of us this evening if it wasn't for Christ. Well, what is the motive of this invitation? It is to ensure the welfare of your souls. It is to deliver you from the way of destruction. Everything about this invitation of the gospel is pure. It's good. It's blessed. It's life-giving. It's light. It's hope. Now let us think about this gate. Enter ye in at this straight gate. Now how do we enter this gate? How do we enter this gate? Well, the only way to enter into this gate and to start walking along the narrow way is by repentance of our sin and faith in Jesus Christ. And that is a great gift from God to us. If we have that repentance, if we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives and we feel that we're conscious of our sin and we feel that burden of our sin and we come with that burden and we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, deal with my life. Lord Jesus, deal with my sin. Oh, to enter in at the straight gate, you must be converted. That means you must be spiritually given a new nature by the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. Well, now then, dear friends, you cannot enter into God's way clinging onto the baggage of the old way. And that's why the Lord Jesus is using this picture language here, standing, as it were, at the narrow gate. He is the door to the narrow way. He is, as it were, the gate. And at the gate, we can unburden our load of sin. And Christ will deal with it. He will liberate us from its dominion over our lives. But when we speak about repentance, when we speak about conversion, when we come to that point of conversion, and we come to that point when we come, when we go down on our knees, and we are really trusting in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at that point, in our experience, we're acknowledging a remarkable truth. It is not Christ plus anything of ourselves, our works, our tradition, anything of our own goodness. No, we understand that that can't be like that. It is not Christ plus. It is Christ alone. Now, we might understand that in a very simple way, but true conversion is when we come to that point when we see it is Christ alone. It's not Christ plus anything else. We come to that point when we realize it's Christ alone can save me. And so that is why Jesus speaks about it being a narrow gate, a narrow way. Why does he speak about it being a narrow gate? Why does he speak of it in this way? Well, there's no excess baggage allowed through this gate. I've gone abroad several times in business and in the ministry, and sometimes I've seen in front of me people with huge bags. I mean, ginormous bags. I've never seen such. And one time, I saw this huge bag, and it took two people to lift the bag onto the weighing scales. And I understand it was something like 50 kilos, this bag. And these poor people had never been on a plane before. They just thought, well, we're going to put as much as we possibly can in this bag. And the people looked at them and said, you can't take, this is XX baggage. This is so big. There's so much XX baggage here. Can you not get another couple of bags to spread it out a bit more? And you do know that you're going to have to pay for this XX baggage. And it was a lot of money. Oh, friends, when we come to the narrow gate, there's no XX baggage that can get through with us and squeeze through the gate in addition to ourselves. No. So, what is the Lord Jesus teaching us here? Well, friends, he's saying to us that there's things that have got to be left at the gate, left behind. And that's one of the real tests of whether you are truly converted, or whether you really want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Now, there's something called pride, which has to be left at the gate. As we are converted, as we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, self-will must be left at the gate. Oh, in the Christian life, it's true that you'll still be troubled by those things, but they'll be a trouble to you. That'd be something you confess about. You will not be comfortable about them. No, because you know that in the narrow way these things should not be. And you know that when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you was willing to put this to one side. Pride and self-will must be left at the gate. An independent spirit which relies upon self and not upon God must be left at the gate. You cannot get through this gate with pride. You cannot get through this gate with self-will. I do things my own way. You cannot get through this gate with an independent spirit which relies upon yourself and not upon God. Another thing that must be left at the gate is idolatry. There's no place for your idols along the narrow way. You must focus upon Christ. And then another thing that must be left at the gate is you're dependent upon your religious works. This must be left at the gate because you are saved by grace and grace alone. And then another thing that must be left at the gate is a worldly humanistic philosophy of life. Christ must be your wisdom. And then another thing that must be left at the gate, and that is the fear of man, which brings a snare. That's very difficult for us because maybe Satan is saying to you, now, if you put on an open profession, if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you openly profess that by baptism, then, oh, people are going to say all this and that about you. But Jesus Christ must be your security. A materialistic spirit has to be left at the gate also. Jesus Christ must be your all and in all. Now, you may be tempted this evening to think, well, I'm having to leave so much behind. The narrow way is just too difficult. And Satan might even be tempting you to say, well, it's going to be very boring on the narrow way. But I want to show you now that actually the opposite is the case. I want to show this to you by considering some truths about the narrow way. The narrow way in Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Lord, is the way of life everlasting. It is the way to heaven. It is the broad way. The way which the majority of humanity are rushing along is the way to eternal destruction, to hell. But the narrow way in Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And the narrow way follows the Word of God. It follows the way of God. It follows God's way of holiness. And the narrow way is the only God-directed route and road that takes you to heaven. The Bible is like God's satellite navigator to take you to heaven in and through the person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The narrow way is the only secure route for you to be on this evening. On any other road that you might be on, which is descriptive of the broad way, is most insecure for you. The narrow way following the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way that has for its name peace with God. It's the only route in which you will grow spiritually and be prepared for heaven. It's the only route which leads to heaven. It's the only route along which there is a meaningful Christian service. It's the only route in which we can travel, whereupon we can pray and rejoice in the Lord always. But it is the route along which we walk, the narrow way, when we will be attacked by persecution. It is true, we will be attacked by temptation. And we'll have to do battle with the enemy of souls. But in Christ Jesus, we are secure. And it is the route along which, with God's help, we must courageously fight against sin and mortify the flesh. Well, despite the tribulations of the narrow way, Matthew Henry reminds us that 1 hour in heaven will make amends for all. Oh, friends, have the highest view of the narrow way. It is the way to blessing. It is God's way. And you can walk along the narrow way with the Lord Jesus Christ leading you, guiding you, ultimately to glory. But to follow the Lord Jesus Christ means you've got to trust in him and in him alone. And this repentance of your sin and this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift from God. We cannot do this in our own strength. But we can ask God to work in our lives, to bring us to Christ, to reveal Christ to us. Because we read in chapter 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom have, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh, you know, the Lord will not turn anyone away that comes to him in repentance and faith. Now, in conclusion this evening, I just want to give you two vital reasons that are stated by the Lord Jesus Christ as to why it is so important for you and for me to be walking in the narrow way. And the first reason reveals his divine assessment of a state by nature. Oh, by nature we are walking on this road to destruction. We're walking on this road to destruction. And he describes this natural habitat of the unbeliever, all traveling in one direction to one destination. And the characteristic of this gate and this way is that it is broad. You can carry what you like in this broad way, friends. There's no problems about your baggage you're carrying with you. Do you know what? In this broad way, you can live as you like. There's no restriction. There's no convictions. There's no barriers. There's no separation from the world. This is the popular way. This is the might of the majority. You have plenty of company and plenty of so-called friends on this broad way. And everyone is doing their own thing. Everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. And there's no questions asked. No, you have your independence. You have your rights. And you can live as you like. From even a young age, you can do whatever you like. In the case of morals, that's what you're being taught. This is all part of the broad way that's leading you to destruction. The broad way today is characterized by live and let live. Everyone has their own standards. Everyone has their own truth. So Jesus gives us the first reason. His divine assessment of our state by nature. That's what we are by nature. But then the second reason that the Lord Jesus gives for entering in at the straight gate to the narrow way, it's because the broad way leads to destruction. It's the road that leads to hell. Everlasting distress. Everlasting regret. Oh, if only I'd listened. If only I'd taken heed. I was warned many times. But if you go to hell, you will spend an eternity of regret. And the broad way that carries you along without any effort. You can go with the flow. Now, perhaps you have seen on a documentary someone rafting down some rapids with great excitement. And they may show you on this film clip what is ahead. And there's these terrible falls which are ahead, a sudden drop which could mean certain death. And these people are rafting down these rapids and they're all excited. They're having a great time. But a mile ahead is a terrible fall. And it could be destruction. And they don't know about it. They're just rapidly going down this stream. Every minute they're getting closer to this destruction, this sudden drop. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the danger ahead of our lives in the broad way, which leads to destruction, gives us a wake-up call. He said, look, broad is the way, yes, but it's leading you to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, as God the Father looks down from heaven, he witnesses billions of people on this road to destruction. And in the person of his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening, in the authority of the divine word of God, he calls us to take heed of his only beloved Son. He said, hear ye him. And his only beloved Son is given a warning and an invitation. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Follow me. Follow me. Now we are faced with the most important issue in our lives. Are we going to follow God's way? Or are we going to follow man's way? That's the crossroads of life. And that's where the gospel brings us. There is no middle road with the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the warnings of Jesus Christ are so well meant, they're so loving, they're so compassionate, but they don't give us a middle of the road option. No, there's one way and another way. There's God's way and there's man's way. And you have to ask yourself the question this evening, what way am I in? What way am I living my life? What road am I in? And if you are in the broad road, it doesn't have to be like that. If you heed the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can enter in at the strait gate by the way of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in him and in him alone. May the Lord bless this word for his name's sake.